RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, after a nice, restful weekend. Welcome to the Dark Delight Podcast with
November Val and
me, Mrs. Beans. It's November 4th. Oh, Lord.
We are, 364 days away? It's less than a year now.
God.
But next year is a leap year.
Oh, I had a friend who was born on leap year.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah. I think she's like 16 or something. I don't know.
She's still 16 years old?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Why did they throw leap year in there again?
It's like every 4 years we get like a 24-hour adjustment so that it's all solar or whatever the hell, the calendar and the sun.
Does this daylight savings mess you up as much as it messes me up?
I don't understand it anymore. I don't understand it. I can understand why you would take the liberty of maybe aligning your day so that you have maximum daylight. So then why the hell do we go so many months out of the year with it's so short. If it's going to get short anyway, why don't we just leave it the way it was when we sprung forward?
You know, there is a law in South Carolina, I believe, now that they're not going to do the daylight savings anymore after this year.
Well, I know Arizona, it's been like that for a while. Are they the only state, though?
I don't know. Let's see. South Carolina. Daylight savings time laws. While I'm looking this up, before we start the show, one of the writers over at Uncover DC, Daniel Babinski, who's really an asset to us there, told me about a website. You know how we go, let's do an experiment, Frank. Let's go to Drudge Report real quick.
Okay.
We're going to go over to Drudge Report.
And I'm there.
Why don't you choose some headlines here?
Sure. Well, let's just start from the top. Fox News poll, 49% want Trump removed. NBC News poll, 49% want Trump removed.
Doesn't that mean that 51% don't?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So even if we're talking about the fact that there's a slim 2% majority that don't want him removed, the fact that they're talking about half glass half empty, it's all, you know, jaundiced-eyed nonsense. MSN poll, 52% want Trump removed. And then it gets on up over here. Biden in a dead heat with Hillary. And then Fox News, Biden tops Trump by 12. Anxiety growing. Jeez.
One person, one vote? Maybe not. New York City mulls ranked choice voting.
You know where they have tested? They tested this in my town.
Did they really?
Well, I don't know. They call it cumulative voting. The testing ground was in my town. They do it because, and it's, I don't know, I don't understand it here, but of course, my town is about 70% illegal immigrant now. And there's only about, nobody locally votes, nobody. If you look at all the voting totals within the last however many elections, there is about a couple of thousand people together. So what they do now is they've been working out a way where every voter in my town has six votes each. They have six votes each that they can either give them all to one person or spread them out across, town council, village council members or the mayor, or whatever the hell it is. Six votes each to make up for I don't know what. And it's so stupid because when you think about it, it's always going to be just the same voting output, just times it by six. But it's the same people voting.
Yeah.
And they're trying to give people a voice.
That's gross. That's gross.
Oh, it's awful. It is awful.
Whatever happened to one person, one vote?
That's nonsense. We all know that's nonsense too. One person, one vote is just a way of saying we need democracy so that our cities, four big liberal cesspool cities around the country, can dictate national policy.
Well, that's my point. They're messing with themselves at that point, contradicting themselves.
Oh, absolutely. They'd be talking, they'd be screaming about the sanctity of the Electoral College if they had that under wraps. Whatever it is, they don't want the apple cart disrupted. So they will throw all of their emotions behind whatever is going to get them in a position that is unchallenged.
So why are we doing this? There's no doubt in my mind that everybody now knows what has happened to Drudge Report. They've obviously sold out, right? To whatever funding they're getting or whatever. He's gone. He's done. It's over. It's finished. Drudge Report is no more. So where does one go to get the information they used to get from Drudge, the collation of these headlines that used to inform their day? Well, there's a new location, folks, that I was turned on to by Daniel. It's called thelibertydaily.com. And it looks, right, Frank, it looks exactly like Drudge.
Yeah.
And it is all, it says their tagline is the conservative alternative to the Drudge Report. And it sure is. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, I like how they actually took the configuration directly, lifted it directly from Drudge, because it's such a long time format here of the three columns. And
yeah, it's great. It's good. Let's read some. Even the ads are in the same places. Let's read some of the headlines from the Liberty Daily, shall we?
Go ahead. Your turn.
Five questions the GOP should ask alleged, quote, whistleblower Eric Charmella. Muslim staffer for Crooked Hillary arrested for sexual abuse of mentally disabled teen. Pregnant Florida mom used AR-15 to kill home intruder. Jim Jordan to, quote, whistleblower. You don't ignite an impeachment and never account for orchestrating it. Cleveland Browns cut black player Jermaine Whitehead after racist Twitter rant that included death threats. Shall we continue? I mean, John Brennan, Peter Strzok, and the Obama DOJ needed Julian Assange arrested and UK officials obliged. Fox News guest blurts out Epstein didn't kill himself. Did you see that one?
Yes, I have that ready. I have that ready for tonight. I'm going to do an Epstein meme review. I've been putting out them.
That was great.
I loved it.
Now there's a whole bunch of memes coming out. My husband sent me one this morning. It's worth reading. It says, vampires couldn't see their reflections because mirrors used to be backed with a layer of silver, which was considered a pure metal, so it didn't interact with vampires. However, modern mirrors are now backed with aluminum, so they would be able to see that Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah, they always flaw. You don't know it's going to come. You don't know when it's going to come, but you have a feeling it's coming. And then at the end, you know what? I have one over here. Let me see where it is. I had so many over the last couple of weeks that have come my way. But this, my favorite one was about the Orion constellation. Here's one. The fuzzy orange star in Orion's sword isn't a star. It's the Orion Nebula, and it's the only nebula visible from Earth with a naked eye. It's so huge that if the distance from the Earth to the Sun was 1 inch, the Orion Nebula would be over 12 miles wide, and Epstein didn't kill himself. I love where it just pops up.
So
gotcha.
We're gonna do a bunch of stuff today. But one thing that I want to talk about real quick is Shem highlighted something. You know, he's always on top of news and stuff lately. He's been doing a really good job. I love his account. And he highlighted a thread over the weekend. It's from this article that the New York Times wrote about how the right has this like ridiculously effective meme game, right? And they call it meme warfare, and they're poised to be able to, you know, use these visual representations as tools for elections. And the left is just woefully inept in this. And he did a thread, which it came from, it looked like a surrogate of Warren's campaign, where they call Warren supporters Warren heads, first of all. I just don't understand why anybody would want to call themselves that.
Wait, they call themselves that?
Yes.
Warren heads?
Warren heads.
Oh, because this is what I'm talking about. This is why they can't meme. You understand? This is so stupid. I mean, at least Jimmy Buffett has the parrot heads. You know, he takes it out. It's not, I'm a Buffett head. No, you take something about her. You can't, you know, you can, then again, you know, Elizabeth Warren, what are you really going to say? Headdresses? We're the headdresses?
Oh, you know?
But something like that. I don't know. We are the chiefs, the chieftains, the chiefdesses, the priestesses. I have no clue. We're the peace pipes. Warren's peace pipes. They have no, they're so lame. You can't meme if you're lame.
No, they're lame, and they have no sense of humor at all. They're not funny people. And so Shem found this thread because he could barely believe that the article, hi Shemmy, he could barely believe that the article was even real. So he found this thread made by these people that were looking to recruit. I'm trying to find it as I'm talking to you because it just kind of popped into my head. They're trying to recruit people to make memes for the Warren campaign. And what they're missing is that this couples back into the fact that Twitter has removed the ability for any campaign to pay for advertising. And, you know, Donald Trump's campaign and you know, has a bunch of fervent supporters who are very adept at using social media to advance their ideas using memes. And they're trying to create this to fill that vacuum. So the name of the account that's doing this is called Warren's Meme Team. Okay. I want to read this. I want you to listen to it, Frank. It says, Warren's Meme Team is a volunteer effort of writers, artists, and marketers to make and spread creation templates that all Elizabeth Warren supporters can use. We aim to earn a content creation and distribution advantage for primaries in general, saving the nation with selfies and memes. And they have all these stupid emojis in there. And they say tech and mass comm have played major roles in U.S. presidential campaigns over the last century, from the FDR library to the JFK library to Bill Clinton on the internet in 1992. Winning campaigns adopt the latest capabilities to better connect with voters. The progression has accelerated, and they go through some stats. Each new evolutionary capability rewards the innovator. Each then remains important to future elections and requires operational excellence, but also becomes a commodity as others adopt. This begs the question, what will be the new capability of 2020? And then they put the little eyes and they say, vision. In line with the capability progression alone, this election may be that the grassroots networks help Warren transform voter participation. Trolls will, there are a few new forces at work. Trolls will be even more active than 2016 with big tech unable and unwilling to stop it. Online organizational tools are now let distributed networks do complex collabs. Popular apps now have powerful creative suites in the hands of millions. Bite-sized visual content spread quickly on social media is how political discourse happens today. Most voters do not read policy papers. Campaigns must engage voters where they are, how they like, while remembering that campaigns compete for attention with everything else. The right understands the importance of memes. They approach it like war and have succeeded in engaging their supporters' participation. All the words, we won't fight an asymmetric battle and don't believe in unilateral disarmament. We fight back in a way that's authentic to our values. Warren's,
you know, I'm so happy that you're doing this because one of the greatest jokes about left-wing memes, there's a left-wing meme, you know, where it's just like there was a comparison between memes and somebody made a joke about the comparison and the right wing meme or the meme, whoever was written by someone who understands humor and how to get a message across in a distilled fashion. It was like a very well chosen picture and maybe two or three words. That's it. Two or three words. And then, of course, the left wing meme. There was the same picture, but from the top left corner of the image to the bottom right corner, it was just scrolls of text.
This is true. This is the
one. They're insane. They can't stop themselves.
So this is what it is. Warren's Meme Team is a volunteer site to organize grassroots collab between writers, artists and marketers, supported by developers and organizers. And if you just look at this, it just makes you sick. It's like a little kid doodled all over this thing with the emojis. We aim to earn a content creation and distribution advantage for the primaries by assembling a distributed network of a few hundred passionate volunteers, producing content creation templates to engage millions more supporters, distributing creation templates, and amplifying the best content produced. In other words, they are basically stating they're going to be doing what they have asked Twitter to stop us from doing.
Yep. And Silicon Valley, big tech can't and won't help us.
Yeah.
So it's apparent we've asked them to tell them to stop the meanies from being mean. But since they won't do it, we're going to have to be kind of mean ourselves. It's so stupid. And then they go on and the best thing about this is that the only ones that really work are the ones that are they're not provoked by anything.
No, they're organic.
They're completely organic. And they're like, and this is how we're going to take the meme fight to them.
Yeah,
step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, and then ending with a completely organic result.
It's funny, too, because their entire thread doesn't even use memes. It uses GIFs. So they say, mission, let's define meme. When most people hear meme, they think of image macros. What is an image macro, you douche?
They keep going. Let's define, before we get down to the art of creating memes together, let's define what a meme is. Stop!
Do you want to hear what a meme is and their definition?
Sure. Why? They already killed this. This is like going to one of my elementary school dances, a Catholic school, and having the nuns and the priests as chaperones.
A meme is any unit of culture that spreads as people replicate it and add their own twist. They are conceptually simple, participatorily easy, and generally fun. Like, using the word participatorily before the word easy is
exactly. Exactly. That's a meme in itself.
I know.
It's participatorily easy.
I can't. These intellectuals that think these big words mean something and make them sound more fun. Campaigns do a great job amplifying memes when they happen, but political memes, they tend to originate externally and randomly, so let's force them. I mean, this is basically what they're saying. The Hope poster, the @PussyHat Project, and much of what Real Donald Trump amplifies have come from creative and skilled supporters who know how to distribute. He has successfully outsourced creativity to his supporters. For Warren to win, we must outperform the meme efforts of our primary and general election competitors. WMT is a people power engine to help spread the campaign's message faster and further. Then they go over a review of what a meme is.
So then pretty much the other thing that they're admitting here right now is that 2016 was a result of an organic sweep of enthusiasm that could not be controlled or stifled in any meaningful way across the internet, that had a lot to do with memes, had a lot to do with breaking down the legitimacy of the mainstream media and being supplanted by the ingenuity and the radical nature of the humorists on the internet. And we were able to do that, and Donald Trump spoke right to those people, and it was a battle on message boards, and it was blogs and podcasts and all that stuff. So what they're pretty much saying right here is we need to tackle this. It wasn't Russia. I mean, why would they need meme warfare if Russia is now out of the way and they've pinpointed the reason why Trump was even elected from foreign interference?
Amen. Not only that, Frank, but I'm just blown away at how they're telegraphing their entire plan online. Like, they go through all these definitions and the steps in their plan and projects and how they're going to do it and what they're going to do. It goes on for like another 15 tweets or 20 tweets, this thread.
Well, Nancy Pelosi broke down the art of the wrap-up smear. She broke that down in public in front of cameras and microphones. She broke down the art of the wrap. You should find that clip. You should pause and find that clip of her breaking down the wrap-up smear. You want to talk about telegraphing exactly what they're doing with Russia and now the impeachment thing with the Ukraine thing. I mean, this is – but that's a bigger thing right there. They're admitting – they're admitting once again in ways that they don't know, because you can't be that good of a liar, that it wasn't Russia. No.
Everything is just baffling to me lately. Like, not only are they admitting it. Oh, okay. Before I say that, the entire thread is so incredibly ratioed. I don't even know what to say. I mean, they're not following in a single account. They have participation turns a campaign into a movement. Let's save the nation with selfies and memes. Meme team assemble. It has 65 retweets and 2,000 comments. Think about that.
This is why I don't understand how some people out there are predicting. I mean, obviously, when election day rolls around, we all have to leave the house and go to the polls, and you got to bring friends with you, and you have to turn up. That's just it. But I don't understand how, with everything that's going on right now and how embarrassingly it's all flaking apart, how some people are saying that it's going to be, from a year outside of the election, that it is going to be a slaughter in the hands of Democrats. They're not only going to sweep through and grow their lead in Congress, in the House, but they're going to flip the Senate communist and also capture the White House. I've been seeing that coming out of people who are considered by many to be serious pundits.
Yeah, no, I don't know where this is coming from. Like, nothing, literally nothing that we're seeing points to any of these people, any of it. As a matter of fact, maybe we should just play this. I came across it this morning. This was not planned, so just bear with me a second. But it was Steve Pachenik saying some really interesting stuff on his channel this morning or yesterday. Here.
Hi, this is Dr. Pachenik, and I want to talk about how we, many of us who were not identified, have been involved in a psyops or a soft coup where Nancy Pelosi's entering a death knell along with her Democratic Party. That was not done by accident. What we depended on was the fact that Trump would be Trump. He would be mercurial. He'd be confrontational. He would be boisterous, self-aggrandizing. That's Trump. We didn't have a problem with that. But in turn, we allowed her to go into a confrontational mode with Trump, which was a very big mistake on her part, because I had hoped she would understand that she internally had the better dynamics and could understand how to control herself, not to get in a confrontational mode, not to get in any way angry with him, because that would only fuel the fire on the side of Trump. What she did was exactly what we had expected. She came back, mirrored Trump's dynamics, and that's called a mirror imaging in psyops, went back, made the impeachment, which has no validity whatsoever. It's just an incredibly expensive process, and made that process open, made it grandiose, and self-aggrandized herself. So what she did was, as a result of a confrontation with Trump, she went on the Stephen Colbert Show, made a fool of herself.
That's basically, there's more, but did you type something in a message?
No. Oh. The updates from Steve Pachenik, I love. The rest of that was great too. And you know, the best thing about it is that he'll upload an opus maybe once or twice a week, and they never exceed 5 minutes. He dips in, dips out. I love it.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes, and you know, he's talking as though he's talking as though he is involved in all this stuff still, which could be a psyop in and of itself. We don't know. But hey, this ever since that video that he did right before the election last, you know, in 2016, feels like last year. You didn't type flash into the messages on Skype?
Oh, there. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, OK. Whew. Anyway, ever since that, I've kind of lend a more keen ear to what he has to say. But, you know, there's so much going on behind the scenes right now, and everybody's telegraphing. Basically, the Democrat Party is destroying itself forever.
Yeah.
Like, they're destroying themselves in an attempt to stop all this information negative to them from coming out.
Yeah. There's no two ways around that. That's for sure. I'm just seeing out. Well, we got 12 months.
Yeah,
We got 12 full months, and man, oh man, I don't know.
I'm sitting here refreshing the Flynn docket because Sidney Powell's due to put her response brief in to the government's response from this Friday, this past Friday. So we'll talk about that for a second. Technofog and Undercover Huber and Margot Cleveland all did great threads about this filing that the government made. So the government is disputing what Sidney Powell said in the motion that she wrote asking for dismissal and stuff. They're disputing all of it. They say there were no material changes made after February 10th to the Flynn 302. However, there are material changes, and Technofog outlines those for everybody. There were material changes made to that. They're lying in their brief. They say, even if an earlier draft of that 302 once existed, there's no reason to believe it would materially differ. You know, even if it existed and now it's gone, because they have been claiming there was no other 302. Now they're saying, even if there was one, there's no reason to believe there would have been anything different in it. Are you serious? That's your argument. Not only that, but they start their argument saying that they weren't required to provide any exculpatory evidence to Flynn in the beginning, which is a very weak way to start your argument.
The format is always the same with these types of people. It is deny, 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 then admit, okay, yeah, so it was true. Who cares?
Yeah. Once they've successfully poisoned the well.
Yeah.
The other thing is that they're saying that Peter Strzok's notes were taken contemporaneously during the interview. But if you look at any 302 available, and we have plenty of 302s and their notes, their handwritten notes attached to them, they're available all over the place. These agents don't write in detailed paragraphs without, you know, shorthand. There's no way they would be able to do that in the middle of an interview. So in other words, what happens is here, Technofog takes Pienka's notes and he puts them next to Peter Strzok's notes. And Strzok's notes are in a neat little paragraph, all lined up, no shorthand, full words, right? Mm-hmm. Pienka's are obviously scattered and all over the place and notes in the sidelines and shorthand words and scribbles. An obvious difference between the two. There's a bunch of other stuff that was wrong with their filing. Sidney Powell gets to respond to that. She's filing that today. I expect it to be a blockbuster because it's the last one. I believe it's the last one. And as I'm on here, I'm seeing people searching like as of 2 minutes ago, as of 1 minute ago. So everybody is waiting for this thing to come out. But we did get something else interesting out on Friday, Frank.
What was that?
Oh, goodness. So we talked about the McCabe wrongful termination lawsuit, and he's filed a lawsuit against the government claiming that the government terminated him wrongfully and violated his constitutional rights. And the government on Friday filed a motion to dismiss with a ton of exhibits attached to it. And exhibits are, you know, documents and in this, we got transcripts and other things. So I did a thread because I read them all on Friday night. I did a thread. And, you know, remember back when we talked about McCabe talking about Loretta Lynch on the call to the New York field office of the FBI?
Yes.
About Eric Garner?
Yes.
And all of that came from the IG report that Michael Horowitz did about the leaks from McCabe to Barrett of the Wall Street, Devin Barrett of the Wall Street Journal. And there was the reason for him to leak to the Wall Street Journal, as per him, McCabe, was that he was being instructed by Maine Justice to stop investigating the Clinton Foundation. And he was pushing back against that. And we never knew the name of the person from Maine Justice who supposedly had told him to stop investigating. We know it now. It was Matthew Axelrod. Hmm. And I haven't gotten to dig into him very much yet, but I will. There's a lot more in here. There was a transcript of McCabe's interview with schools Schools is the one, he's, I believe, the second in command there that makes determinations about firing or recommendations about firing high-level SES employees that can only be fired by certain people inside the DOJ. And he interviewed McCabe for hours with his attorneys present, and there's a transcript of it. And there were 52 pages in this transcript, but on each page was a shrunken one-pager of what would be a normal transcript. So that was like 200 and something pages of transcript. And McCabe uses this as his justification for saying they fired him wrongfully, but he lies all over the place. He's got a big problem. So one of the biggest things that I found in here, which will probably blow you away, is that they admit that the Clinton Foundation case during the 2016 election from 2015 on, maybe earlier, was being worked out of multiple field offices. Four of them. Four FBI field offices were working on the Clinton Foundation investigation. They had actionable material and a case, but the DOJ was pushing back at them to stop issuing warrants and stop issuing subpoenas because they were so close to the presidential election.
Oh my God. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So now.
So now, Tracy, the only time, what I'm gathering from all this stuff is the only time that anybody in this country can pursue any kind of criminal action against a potential network of, I don't know, what felons, international felony, whatever the hell it is. It's like you only have a small window of time over the course of every 4 years that you can actually investigate crime as to not have it be on an election year. You can't do any criminally investigative work.
And with the way campaigns start running now, it's 3 years. It's after the first year you're starting to campaign for president.
That's it.
So it's a perpetual campaign. So they'll never be able to. Well, listen, even though that order came down, it didn't matter. The field offices basically revolted and refused to stop. And McCabe was forced to say, don't stop. Keep going. They didn't. The FBI did not listen. The New York field office and the Little Rock field office, now that's key, were two of the offices running these investigations. Why is that important? Because the Little Rock field office was the office where we saw the boxes of evidence coming out of the Clinton Foundation from those whistleblowers. Remember the DOJ plane that flew to Little Rock, picked up, yeah, came back, flew back again, picked up? Mm-hmm. That was October of 2018. They never stopped. The Clinton Foundation investigation has been going on since at least 2015. That's almost four full years. They've got to be almost done by now. Got to be. It's got to be right around the corner. Because this proves it. I mean, McCabe proves there's four, and there's one in California, too, working on it. All of them saying, we're not stopped. There's too much here.
Well, I don't know. It's a year away from the election, Tracy, and according to some polls, Joe Biden is neck and neck with Hillary Clinton, who hasn't even announced her candidacy. I don't know how she has showed up in all these polls now. She hasn't even announced her candidacy.
They're seating everyone.
Oh, yeah. They're soaking everybody. They're soaking everybody.
So there's a lot more in here we could talk about. There's a lot more, so we'll keep going. Andrew McCabe says – well, first of all, apparently that leaked conversation where McCabe said, first we F Flynn, then we F Trump. In his transcript here, he says that conversation so closely bore resemblance to an actual conversation that it alarmed him that there was a leak coming from very, very deep inside their inner circle. He says the only thing that didn't happen in that conversation is what was reported happened in it.
So
the leak had other details that did happen, but that line, that didn't happen. That never happened.
He was very concerned, very concerned. So pretty much other lines like that could have happened.
Yeah, or anything else that was reported was real, but not that. And right. This actually was a big deal for them. They really flipped out with investigating the leak to Sarah Carter in Circa. There's actually 302s attached to the Flynn filing in this regard. Lisa Page was interviewed. Everyone was interviewed. They were really looking for who this person was that leaked this. Searching high and low. So that tells you something. They usually don't GAF about leaks unless they're coming from the other side.
Well, and of course, if they're on the money, I mean, you're over the target there. Like I said, well, that line wasn't uttered, but this is very concerning to me. Why? Because they're probably having conversations in places and in settings they thought that they were safe to have them that were of this nature.
Yeah.
They were plotting. They were talking about these subjects. They probably all of their schemes were working in the same direction. They were all that was it. And so you can say, well, this wasn't said. But it's very concerning to me. Why? Well, because things like it were said.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really kind of crazy when you think about it. Like, anyway, next. Andrew McCabe says that he was very deeply concerned about the Strzok Page text messages. He'd never seen them act with political bias, but it was deeply concerning to see their messages. He also says, he says that he, Gaddis, and Priestep were responsible for removing Strzok from the special counsel, which McCabe actually takes credit for starting in the first place, which is interesting given the relationship between McCabe and Rosenstein, because the 25th Amendment thing is something that's been hotly contested on pro and con Rosenstein, you know, parts of the fence. There was obviously some kind of relationship between McCabe and him. Because if he was, and then it's interesting because there was an argument that McCabe was angry that the special counsel took the investigation. And some people then put forth the theory that Rosenstein knew that it was going to be a problem if McCabe was involved. So he took it away from him. But I don't think that's true based off of this testimony that he's giving here.
Right.
This is the most we've heard from Andrew McCabe ever. So next was another line. The inspector general actually began investigating the Flynn comment allegation. That's how serious it was. Horowitz began investigating the first we F Flynn, then we F Trump investigation.
So then
we should get a report about that.
Yeah, that should be, there should be something. There should be something that we get to read over the next, I don't know. I always say a couple of weeks and then it turns into another 2 months. So,
or 6 years.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, hopefully we get to read it one day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, somebody commented and I don't see it anymore. Somebody actually yelled at me for threading this during Donald Trump's rally, said that I should be watching the rally and that I can't be a good supporter of the president if I'm not.
What does that mean?
Threading. They were yelling at me for threading this McCabe stuff in the middle of the Trump rally.
I barely watch any of the rallies. I barely watch any of them. I have highlights that I go through the next day. People say, "Hey, check out this timestamp. I thought this was interesting." But I mean, what?
I was pretty stunned by that one. That one was a shock to me.
You should sit in mass with your hands folded on your laps and shut up.
How dare you distract?
Listen to the homily and be quiet. How ridiculous.
Moving right along, shall we?
Yep.
So there was that. That all came out. And there were other exhibits in there and stuff that I have to go through more. But what I wanted to try to do this week was take it easy a little bit. And it doesn't appear that that's going to happen. Really? Maybe we won't talk about that. Not today. Okay. So we've got some clips to go over too, Frank, because there were a lot of Sunday shows this week and they were pretty stunning.
Okay.
Sunday Futures with Maria was really good. She had Bannon on. Bannon was talking about how great Tulsi Gabbard's foreign policy is.
I heard that. Well, I read briefly that people were asking, what does everybody think about Bannon being so supportive of the president again all of a sudden? Was that part of this interview?
Yeah, he was supportive of the president. This is the deal. He's starting up a podcast again.
Okay.
And there you go. Let's listen to Jim Jordan talk about what he thinks that Barr will do with all these investigations.
Now, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok and the way they dumped $10,000 in George Papadopoulos' lab, all the entrapment. I said during the Mueller report, if Robert Mueller doesn't focus on the origins of the Russia probe, I can't, it's not credible. Because, I mean, the Democrats refused to focus on any wrongdoing that may have occurred during the 2016 election.
Yeah, but Bill Barr has it. Remember what he said 6 months ago, Maria, when he testified in front of the Senate Finance Committee, the Attorney General said four very important things. First of all, he said there was a failure of leadership at the upper echelon of the FBI.
Yes.
That is certainly true. Mr. Comey, McCabe, Baker, Strzok, Page, that's certainly true. Second, he said spying took place. Third, he said there's a basis for my concern about the spying that happened. And fourth, and probably most troubling, he used the term political surveillance. That's why he's tasked Mr. Durham to get to the bottom of how this all started.
You're
when
right.
you use the term political surveillance and you realize they spied on two American citizens, Mr. Papadopoulos and Mr. Page, that's scary.
Congressman, great to see you this morning.
Now, not many people caught that, but doesn't it sound to you like he's saying that there was a FISA warrant on Papadopoulos?
Yeah. And that was the theory for a while, right?
Yeah.
We were waiting to see if there was another one on him.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Sidney Powell also says that General Flynn was spied on by either a FISA warrant on him or a FISA warrant on Papadopoulos to get to him somehow.
Mm.
Now, Sidney Powell was on the show yesterday. We'll listen to something she says here.
There were just...
Come on.
When do you believe General Flynn was...
I hate this. Lee Smith is next to her.
Surveilled. Tell us how this all began.
What?
It happens.
I think it began, frankly, Maria, before he left the Defense Intelligence Agency working for President Obama, or if not before, shortly thereafter. They tasked Stephen Halper against him, among other things, and there were just innumerable instances where I think they actually put him in contact with people from Russia and then used those contacts to smear him.
So you believe it was entrapment?
Completely. It was worse than entrapment. It was a targeting operation and a complete setup. And then when the FBI went to interview him, it was on a complete pretext that they did so.
Yeah, I mean, we have a timeline here that shows that in August 7th, 2014, he retires from the Army after 33 years. Then in August of 15, he first meets Donald Trump. And then just a month later, you've got Stephen Halper, who you just referenced, awarded an Office of Net Assessment contract valued at $245,000. He was paid that much money to study Russia and China. Lee Smith, tell us about that.
Yeah, Maria, thanks very much for mentioning Halper, because I believe that he's actually the center of the Russiagate operation. And we first see him start to appear as he is targeting General Flynn. And now we understand, as Ms. Powell's work on behalf of General Flynn has shown, why the deep state, why they needed to target General Flynn. Because he understood the kinds of programs that they were using and how they were misspending their money. And Halper is representative
well,
of that.
He was paid.
What's interesting to me, Frank, about all this is that it's all starting to round out now. Mm. All of this story is starting to round out. If you guys have not gotten Lee Smith's book yet, I implore you to get it. It is absolutely fantastic.
What's the title of the book?
The title of the book is, The Plot Against the President. And it says, the true story of how Congressman Devin Nunes uncovered the biggest political scandal in U.S. history. And he sat with Nunes and shadowed him for years on this book. And it's really eye-opening. It is really, really, really well done. Like, I'm learning things that I wasn't 100% settled on. And Nunes had a name for his House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence investigation. Operation Medusa.
Medusa?
Yeah, like, we've got to chop the heads off of all of them, you know?
Yeah. No, I like it.
Really good. Really good. And, in keeping with that, There was also another release, not really a release, but you know who Jason Leopold is?
Yes, we've talked about him before. Didn't he pop up in the middle of that FinCEN problem?
Yeah. Yep. He is a FOIA hound for BuzzFeed. I mean, the man files more FOIA requests than I've ever seen. He could even file more than Judicial Watch does. It's insanity. And he releases what he gets. And I don't agree with his politics or his reporting. I think he's a snake, in my opinion, but his data is good because it's government documents that they release, right? Mm-hmm. He got a release of some 302s that were taken during the Mueller investigation. He got Rick Gates and he got Michael Cohen. And I read through those on Friday as well. And what we found in there was something really interesting. Michael Cohen, he got Steve Bannon too, those three. Michael Cohen was given a proffer agreement after he was charged in the case in the Southern District of New York to talk to the special counsel, which I found really manipulative and interesting. So, hey, listen, dude, we've got you on all this stuff. You'd better talk to us on this stuff. And here, you know, his lawyers must have said, you know, anything he says to you during these interviews, he can't be penalized for that anywhere else. And I think that they went after Cohen to try and squeeze him to talk during those interviews for a lighter sentence. He doesn't.
When you say it's rounding out, that's what it looks like.
And a lot of his stuff, a good majority of what is provided to us from him is redacted. You know, you get a sentence here or there. You don't get much. What I did find, though, I'm trying to remember, there's a lot of reading on Friday. What I did find interesting was Gates. And they made a big deal about the Trump campaign really trying to find who had the emails, Hillary Clinton's emails. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they discussed internally in large part was Seth Rich. And I'm going to pull up the piece here. I took a screenshot of it because I thought it was that amazing.
This the Seth Rich thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting on this here too. You know, from that the Liberty report, what is it? The Liberty Daily you were talking about before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Seeing that one thing there about Julian Assange, I can't wait to look a little bit deeper into that because I don't know what to make of that either. It's all connected when you start talking about Seth Rich again. Julian, you can't separate Rich from Julian Assange, and 244,000. No. I don't know. That's a guy that's. His state is becoming more and more concerning to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know where they're at. Conservative Treehouse had an article out this weekend that kind of discussed that stuff.
Can't find it?
No, I can't find it, but that's okay. We can save it for Wednesday. I have one more clip anyway that I want to send to myself real quick. I can't believe that's really messed up. I had something else planned for today to talk about, but it didn't come through yet. So hence my little bit of a, you know, when you count on something. And then I don't think we played this clip by Ned Ryan on the other day, did we?
No, we did not.
All right, let's listen to this. He was on Tucker Carlson. This clip is fantastic.
Okay. This is kind of a clarifying moment for us, Tucker, over the last few years, in which I really do think a lot of these people find democracy terribly inconvenient. But this is the problem. We're in about a 100-year experiment where we have dropped an administrative state into a constitutional republic. And the problem is those inside the administrative state, these powerful bureaucrats given immense powers, now seem to think that they're the ones making the decisions. And this whole idea of a constitutional republic where the power flows from the people to their duly elected representatives is terribly inconvenient and kind of an archaic idea. That's what we're really dealing with. But you think about this person that's now been named by Real Clear Investigations, the Federalist, Washington Examiner. Not only was he not a whistleblower, but a partisan political operative, he didn't just show up at the White House. He was detailed from the CIA. He was not picked by random. I would argue that he was there to represent Brennan's interests, the CIA interests. And if you take it to its full extent, Tucker, again, I think this person was more of a confidential asset of John Brennan's inside the White House.
Mm. You can't get better than that. I mean, no. I love Ned. I met him at American Priority. I love him. He's like my favorite person lately. He's great. Really good.
Well, I love this. I love this little timeline we're on. I think right now we still got the holidays, but wow. You know, actually, Tracy, this time next year, it might just be, I mean, no matter what the hell day it's on. What day is it? It's always on a Tuesday, right?
I believe so, yes.
So either way, Wednesday morning, you and I are going to be getting on the air, God willing.
Shoot, yeah.
God willing, in 2020, the day after the election, we will be getting on the air, and we will either be celebrating or licking our wounds. Oh, either way, it's going to be all over. Either way, like the buildup, the pressure that's going to build over the next 11 and 29 days, months, is all going to just have been bursted at that point. Whew.
I don't even know what to think yet.
No, no, no. I just can't wait for the pressure to be relieved.
I know. I want to see some of these. We need to see something accountability-wise, please, for the love of all things holy. I couldn't even believe. I shared, okay, there was a video. Everybody's got these Ring doorbells now, Frank, right? There was a video going around of a gentleman, of a young boy who went up to a bowl of candy, looked in the candy. There was no candy in the bowl because some people aren't home, so they leave the bowl outside, and they say, please take one or two pieces. And, you know, every kid goes up there and takes a handful, most of them anyway. Mm-hmm. So he saw there was no candy in the bowl. So he looks around a little bit, takes his candy bag and puts some candy from his bag into the bowl on the table.
Oh,
completely voluntary act. No parents were around with them. You know, they were down the driveway. He just did it on his own. Then another clip came out of a very obese woman and her little pudgy son walking up to a bowl full of candy. And the mother proceeding to take all of the candy handfuls at a time and put it in her bag while the kid tells her not to take it all.
Yeah.
All right. And I said, counter this with the kid who saw the empty bowl and added candy to it. And you've got the perfect left-right descriptor.
Yep.
Literally perfect. So it was retweeted almost 2,000 times. And of course, I got some trolls on there. Right. So I wake up this morning to a comment that just made me smack my head against my hand. I don't know why I even let this stuff bother me anymore. I really don't know.
You can't read the other comments are so awful sometimes.
I know. So this guy says no one earns. This is his handle. No one earns billions of dollars.
Oh, I can already see where this loser's going.
He goes this. He says the right will take and take and take. Leave the scraps and call it trickle down. The left believes that if you have enough, you should share.
No.
So I said, I didn't even address what he said about the right because it just would be pointless. I said, the left believes they can determine when you have enough. And then if they say so, forcibly take it from you.
Yep.
Like.
Yep. It's pretty. That's it. There's nothing there. That's why I've been training myself to either just call them outright communists or something else. Liberal has got to stop. I don't even like the word conservative. Conservative has been ruined too. But liberal has got to stop. They're the most illiberal people on the planet.
There was that, and then there was this. Now the comments on this are all great. From like, you know, people who are following me. But what I read next, somebody tagged me in this and it just really sent me over a loop. Okay. This guy tweets, he doesn't have a lot of followers. So it's weird that this got so many retweets, but it has almost 12,000 retweets. And it says, op-ed in the New York Times today called for a million-person march to convince Senate Republicans that Trump must go. I'm already there. Are you? And then he says, what's frightening is that Trump did not operate in isolation, but in conspiracy with Pompeo, Rick Perry, Pence, and William Barr. We want hashtag President Pelosi. Then he says, I, for one, want the history books to reflect that we stood up in very large numbers to protest the extreme abuse of power and all norms of civility that this administration has committed. Trump created a foreign policy disaster in Turkey and Syria for no apparent reason, while multiple administration officials testified that he views diplomacy largely as a way to advance his personal interests. Russians changed the numbers for Trump in critical states. He is an illegitimate White House resident.
Yep.
It would be a powerful sight to behold if every group Trump has harmed and sought to destroy in the past 3 years came out in national protests. And then it would, he says in the other tweet about the changing vote numbers, somebody counters him and says, this is what I understand to be true, but others say to me that Russians only posted to social media to influence voters. I've heard they got the ongoing results from someone on the campaign and made changes to electoral state numbers. Then the next comment this guy makes is, Russian hackers changed the numbers for Trump in the critical states on November 2016 elections. Since the most electronic voting machines are outdated, it was easy.
Oh, okay. Now, wow. Well, listen, this person is, that's probably the 1 hour a day that they are let out of their straitjacket.
If you think about this for a second, though, if we thought this about, let's say Clinton won, God forbid, and we thought that about how she was elected, wouldn't you understand their outrage? Like, wouldn't we be equally as outraged if we had lost the election and we had been told over and over again, or been misled to believe that it was because Clinton was working with Russia and Russia hacked the voting machines to change the vote totals?
Oh, absolutely. But this is why I say all the time, this is hand in glove. This is why psychological warfare was important. And you want to show how little they care about the people who they've convinced to keep voting for them. They've destroyed their minds. They've put this cycle of out, they've built this cycle of outrage, and this gaslighting nonsense inside of them, where they smile and chuckle away as if they're in control and they're fine and they're just constantly under attack from a vast right wing conspiracy, and they've passed that down. You want to talk about trickle down anything? It's trickle down insanity. They've passed that on to people. And it just goes to show that they don't really care about living in a society that's healthy mentally. It's just one that will do for them, one that they can control. It's fine. They'll deal with mental instability.
I just told the guy, I said, it's false. Like, it's just false. What you're saying is false. It's wrong. It's not right. I said, I'm for your little march. Have fun. You know, but you've been lied to. Not a single vote was changed. Not one vote. Not one. And I shared with him a Vox article that states that as well. I said, I don't agree with anything in this article, any premise, any assumption they make. But even Vox admits that not a single vote was changed. This guy's entire worldview is being formed on something that is false. And yeah. this is the danger. Because if I put myself in this guy's shoes, and I really believed that this was true, you would not be able to stop me. Just like you can't stop me now from talking about what's true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is the biggest problem, in my opinion.
Well, the other problem that's equally as big is that he's still saying these things. This person, if they're even a real person, is still saying these things months and months after, who was supposed to be the Superman Messiah delivery guy, Robert Mueller. It was supposed to be him. The guy was supposed to deliver everybody from the Trump presidency by laying down the law and showing where he went. And he went in on this dastardly partnership with Russia and the whatever. And he all along the way concluded, no Americans were knowingly working with any Russians. Even if Russians tried to reach out to them, they got no responses and no votes were changed. So, I mean, this was the guy that they put all of their stock in for three full years. I don't understand how this could even be a thing. But it's the same thing like with Ukraine. At first, they talked about Ukraine. This was treason. This is whatever. And they came out with their whistleblower. They didn't expect the transcript to be released, especially as speedily as it was. And once it was out there, people started saying, oh, well, there's got to be something wrong here. The transcript must be incomplete. This has to be an incomplete transcript because, of course, there's nothing wrong in it. And they started saying that the new conspiracy theory then was that the transcript was incomplete. It had been edited or something like that, and they wanted to see the full thing. They wanted to actually hear the recording of the call. And then months go – weeks go by, and there's nothing left to doubt that the transcript is what it is, because, of course, none of the whistleblowers was the stenographer. You know, the stenographer didn't come out and say, I was told.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. We haven't gotten any of that. We haven't gotten any of the people that – yeah, you're right.
So, you know, the whistleblower is a stenographer that came out and said, I was told to take out entire portions of this phone call because it was bad. Then that would be something that you might have been able to go on. But they didn't expect any of this to come out. Neither did they expect the transcript to come out. And they allowed this Schiff to go out there and give the essence of what it was. He did his little dog and pony show in front of his committee hearing in front of television that day. And now after all these weeks, they say – people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, we read the transcript. We saw the crimes. That's why we're going after him. Like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
So now it's just to hell with it. Let's just say that there was something in there and just keep pushing. It doesn't matter that they thought that it was incomplete because there was nothing in there a couple of weeks ago. Now it's just, let's just say it. Same thing with this lunatic that messaged you. Robert Mueller couldn't even show anybody that there was any kind of coordination between Americans and Russians and there was no votes changed. But now that is months in the past, just keep saying it. Russia helped change the vote totals. Just say it. To hell with it. Who cares?
It doesn't matter to them anymore.
It doesn't matter. They're just saying things.
That's it for today, Frank.
Alrighty.
You have been listening to the Monday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
November Val and
me, Beans. You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.